And want to take this time to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. This, of course, is a Samaritan woman, and we're breaking into the middle of the account just a little bit. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where we ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." In our previous lesson on the bringing our best to the Lord, we began a study of worshiping God. In the first part of the study, we examined the idea of bringing our best praise to the Lord. In this part of the study, I want to show the importance of bringing our best worship to the Lord. Worshiping the Lord begins with a proper attitude. It begins with a proper attitude. To the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither worship here on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Why? Well, you're worshiping what you don't know. They were worshiping idols. And he said, "We're worshiping what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews." And then he emphasizes the hour is coming when true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, bringing our best worship to the Lord begins with our mind. We must begin with what we are thinking. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I see I'm just a little bit behind myself. There it is. There it is. And Matthew 6 and 21, "And Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth bad things." Matthew 12 and 35. Now, it's clear from these passages that a proper worship of God must begin in the heart or mind of man. Bringing our best worship to God demands that we train our mind to understand what it means to worship. Now, let's get to this chart. I want to start with the word worship. Proskuneo is the transliteration of the Greek word. It means to make obeisance, do reverence to. It comes from two words, pros and kuneo. And it means towards, to kiss. It literally means to kiss towards, is the idea. It is the most frequent word rendered worship, and it's used of an act of homage or reverence to God. To fawn or crouch to, that is literally or figuratively, to prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence to, or adore. Those are all the definitions that come down from that word. Now, let's look at reverence. What about reverence? Honor or respect felt or shown. Deference, especially profound, adoring, awed, A-W-E-D, awed respect. A gesture of respect, such as a bow. The state of being revered. Now, what about obeisance? We mentioned that word too. It is a movement of the body made in token of respect or submission. It is bowing. Acknowledgement of another's superiority or importance. It is homage. Now, applying all of these definitions to our worship of God, we see that we must begin with an attitude of reverence, a attitude of honor and respect felt towards God. We should be in such great awe that we bow ourselves before Him in heart and in mind. And I think it might be well worth our while to consider a few passages from the New Testament that refer to worship and just look at them in their context. The wise men sought to worship Jesus in Matthew 2:2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. We're going to speak more on this afternoon, but suffice it to say, there weren't three of them. Now, they came to worship. Well, look at all those definitions of worship that we just covered. That's what they came for. Jesus reminded Satan about what was written. What was written? Well, in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Well, even Satan was told that he was supposed to worship God. Jesus said about the Pharisees, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 5:8-9. And note, the Greek word for worship is sebomai, which means to revere. That is to adore. Devout, religious, and worship are all three ways that it's translated. Now, the Apostle Paul referred to the man, I'm sorry, not Paul. I got one step ahead of myself. The man from Ethiopia in Acts 8:27. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. Now think about what that entailed. It was a lengthy trip all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. The Apostle Paul referred to the unbeliever who hears the truth, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. 1 Corinthians 14:25. Paul said that we worship God in the Spirit, Philippians 3:3. And note, the Greek word for worship is, in this passage, is laturo. It means to minister to God, that is, render religious homage, serve and do worship, or do the service and worship. Now, about Jesus, God said, let all the angels adore him, or worship him. Hebrews 1:6. I'll get the passage straight in my mind. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. They were to bow down in reverence to him. Now, said all of that to say this. Why do we worship God? Why do we worship God? I don't think that this is a subject that we really think about all the time. We really don't think about it. We just do it. We just do it. But perhaps homing in on this subject may give us a greater appreciation and a deeper appreciation for what we're doing. Now, why do we worship God? We do it to show our obedience to God. Notice we noticed back in John 4:23-24 that those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. That is a wholehearted worship of God. But in worshiping, we show to God our humility. We are not in the position to come together and to tell God what to do. There's nobody can do that. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humility in worship. To worship God acceptably, we must be willing to fully submit ourselves to the Lord. Let's consider James 4:6-10, just a minute. Look at it now. God gives grace to the humble, verse 6. submit to God, verse 7, and draw near to God, verse 8, and humble yourselves in the sight of God, verse 10. Now think about those thoughts. We are to be humble, to submit to God, draw near to God, be humble in the sight of God when we willingly submit ourselves to God. Humbling our spirits before His, we are able to worship Him, and only when we do that are we able to worship Him in spirit and truth. That's what's involved, worshiping Him in spirit and truth. Worship to God is to show God honor and reverence. Show God honor and reverence. Just as humility is crucial to bringing acceptable worship to God, so too is honor and reverence crucial. Honoring God and reverencing God begins within our mind. And how do we do it? Well, we honor both the Father and the Son. In John 5, verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. What does that tell us? God and Jesus are worthy of honor and reverence. We are not just worshiping the Father, not just worshiping the Son. We are worshiping both of them because they are worthy of honor and reverence. Notice this reference in Revelation 4, 9 through 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. That sounds familiar. I think we sang a song about that. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God is almighty. That's a way of expressing what is meant by the tetragrammaton, the unspoken word in Hebrew that describes God. And notice again in Revelation 5, 11 through 13, Jesus is the King. Look at it carefully. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's a real picture, isn't it? Just think of that. Everything is honoring Him, falling down and worshiping Him. We worship God not only to show honor and reverence, but to outwardly express our worshipful, and that's a real word, our worshipful attitude. Our worshipful attitude. Think about this. Our worship is an expression of our faith. We trust in the Lord. We are convicted by His word. And we have faith that He will take care of us. Think about that. Jesus told His disciples to have faith in God. Look at it in Mark 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered to them, have faith in God. Well, He means that's something we should do too. Our faith and hope must be in God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 21, Peter wrote, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. Now listen, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's where our faith and hope lies, in God. But not only is it an expression of our faith, it's an expression of our love. We love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and strength. Couldn't love Him anymore, could we? That's everything you got. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Jesus had been asked what was the greatest commandment and so forth. And He says, the first of all commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Jesus thought that was pretty important. He thought that was pretty important. When we come together to worship God, do we express the love that we share for God? We want to think about that. Now, I'm not referring to specific acts of worship today, but in everything we do, when we open God's Word and read from it, do we express the love that we have for God? Or do we just read the words? That's something you need to search your soul for. When you open the Word of God, do you express your love for God by appreciating them as indeed the words that came from the mouth of God? Put it that way. I'm afraid not all of us take it that seriously. I would like to impress upon you the importance of daily Bible reading. I got behind this year. I was laid up a while, and I not only couldn't write, I didn't read very well. But I got caught up, and I'm on target now. But when I wasn't reading, a part of my life was gone. A part of my life was gone. We read God's Word because we want to hear from Him. And the more we hear from Him, the happier it makes us. If you didn't get in the groove and read this year with everybody else, why don't you make it a resolution? I'm getting early here, but make it a resolution to begin and read through the Bible next year. We're going to simply read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's not very exciting as far as different subjects go, but it's exciting in seeing what God has delivered to us today. The chart's already available online. You can print out a list if you want to print a list of it. Why don't you make that a resolution? You're going to do that. And you see now, if it doesn't draw you closer to the Father, it makes a big difference. Believe me. And it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, it probably takes the time that some people check their email. And if you forego it for just a little bit of time, you can read it. And you'll find out you can work it into your schedule. I have mine all worked out where I read at a certain time each day. I read from the Bible. Think about that. Expressing our love for God by opening His Word. And there are other ways we express our love for God. You know, if you love your brother, that expresses the love we have for God. We're studying that Sunday morning in Evan's class. Real salient point there. Let's remember to express our love for God. Now, worshiping God, we're looking at the whys here. I got carried away with that. I'm sorry. We also express our adoration. We adore God greater than we adore any person or anything. We treasure him in our hearts. We treasure him. You know, when we feel this love for God, we want to be just as close to him as we can be. And that means you want to be everywhere that he is when you can be there. Oh, just a minute. What am I talking about? I'm talking about assembling with the saints. If you really are expressing adoration for God, you will express it by being in the assemblies of the saints. I believe that is the reason why the inspired writer over in Hebrews chapter 10 wrote what he wrote. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's pretty pointed. But he understood that it is an expression of adoration to the Father when we come together to worship him. But it's also expression of respect. We respect the Lord our God above all authorities, above all principalities. We worship no other man, woman, government, person. Our respect for the Lord keeps us focused solely on serving him. Get the point? Also, it is an expression of our devotion. We have devoted our lives, we have surrendered our lives to the Lord. We have devoted our lives to continually serve the Lord and praise his name. Absolutely. And it is an expression of our thankfulness. I want you to stop and think. What has God done for me? He's done something that nobody else could do. He sent his only begotten Son to put on flesh, to live as a man, and to die an unjust death. Now, how can I express my thanksgiving for that? Does it really mean anything to you? We just celebrated the Lord's Supper, remembering that death, burial, and resurrection. But when we come together to offer up worship to God, we are expressing unto God our eternal gratitude for his great and unmeasurable mercy. That's why we come together. That's why we come together. Paul said that we are to thank God in our prayers. Be anxious for nothing. That one is a hard one for some people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Consider the worship brought before the throne by the angels and the elders and many others. By the way, you just read through this in daily Bible reading. Revelation 7, 11 and 12. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever
and ever. Amen. Our worship is pretty puny compared to that. Our worship is pretty puny. But this is the kind of respect and honor that God deserves. Whenever we worship the Lord from our hearts and from our minds, the outward expression of the inward spiritual man can faithfully flow before the throne of the Heavenly Father. He wants us to adore Him. He wants us to worship Him. And to worship Him is to worship His Son. To worship His Son is to worship Him. You can't do one without the other. They go together. When you came to the assembly today, did you bring your best to worship God? Did you bring your best to worship God? Think about it. Did you simply stop in because this was on the way and, well, here I am and I guess I'll put a little time in and go on? Or did you contemplate, think about, ponder in your mind the things we were going to do today and come here with the very best that you could to worship God? I'm preaching these lessons, these three lessons, for a reason. I want us all to think about what we are doing, why we are doing it, and do it to the best of our ability. That's the goal. I leave the lesson with you this morning. I appreciate your attention very much.